Okay, well, hello everyone. Welcome. So, as some of you will know, I was supposed to be speaking on spiritual gifts part two. But I felt like I should share some thoughts into the situation going on in our country and just bringing, hopefully, a Jesus perspective into it. You up for that? So I'm going to share some thoughts, and then we're going to have opportunity to respond, and we're going to do some praying and listening to God, what he's saying to us individually and as a church community. So, obviously in this room, if we're talking about the EU referendum, there'll be people who voted to remain and people who voted to leave. There will be different perspectives going on, but no matter whether you voted to remain or you voted to leave, I'm sure that we'll all agree there's a lot of uncertainty at the moment. Do you agree? Yeah. And there's also a lot of emotion going on. It's like various emotions have been unleashed. And, you know, when things like that are going on, it's really good that we take a step back and we try and get God's perspective into it. Yep. Yeah. So, you know, just to say, first of all, you know, it's really easy to categorize people who voted differently to the way we voted. So, you know, if you voted to remain, you can feel, and this is not true, but the way that also the media are really great at adding to the categorization of humanity, the way that we love to, of being like, everybody who voted to leave is a racist and they just want to kick everybody out of the country. Now, of course, there are some people who voted to leave who are racist, but most people voted to leave and not racist. They felt like that was the right decision for our country. Yeah? So, you know, I'm sure there's a counter argument for the remain, but I can't quite think what it is right off the, in that. But, you know, it's really easy to categorize people, and we need to make sure that as followers of Jesus, we're not engaging in that in unhelpful ways. Yeah? Because everybody's got a mix of motivations. Each of us in this room have a mix of motivations as to why we vote the way that we do. And we are living in an imperfect world, and it's not completely black and white, right or wrong. Yeah? So, you know, I just be honest, because I don't really like... I always get nervous as a church leader. I want to speak out against injustice, but I don't always want to talk about politics too much, because I'm not in agreement with being one of those kind of church leaders who like announces who they're going to vote for to try and force everybody else to. But obviously I'm very honest in private conversations. But in this kind of situation where it's just a small group of us, I'm just going to be honest. You know, I voted to remain, and I was really upset when the vote ended up being to leave. And everybody who's spoken to me in the last few weeks knows that anyway. But some of you haven't will not know that. And, you know, I was really upset on that Friday. We're about to go into Riverfest together with others, of thinking, what's going on in our country? I'm not very happy about this. But I also recognise that for those who voted to leave, it was a day of celebration. And they were thinking about all the wonderful things that can now happen. And then, of course, the Prime Minister resigned. And bringing more uncertainty. And then we had a leadership crisis in the opposition party, bringing more uncertainty. And then we've had the shock that Boris Johnson is not going to stand. Which, you know, and all that went on around that. So that, you know, there's just like loads and loads of uncertainty going on all around us. So obviously, you know, the pound is weaker, although Maureen said this morning, it says it's going up. I'm not quite up to date on that situation. And that brings, you know, uncertainty into people's minds economically. What does that mean for us? What's going to happen? Are we going to go into an economic crisis? And then there's the whole thing of, what does it mean now? Does it mean like Scotland, are they going to try and like vote to leave? Was Northern Ireland going to vote to leave? Oh, there's going to be break up of our union. There's all this stuff going on, yeah, that we have all been feeling. And it can all get hyped up as well in unhelpful ways by the media, and, you know, play into all of our fears. So, you know, all of us are, you know, we're called to be disciples, followers of Jesus. And we have to work out, what does that mean right now in 2016 in Englefield Green? What does it mean for us to be a disciple of Jesus? You know, that whole cheesy Christian WWJD, what would Jesus do? I feel it's really crucial. You know, every now and then I drop it into the conversation on, for those of you not part of it, there's a WhatsApp group which is full of mostly the younger members of the community constantly bantering. Every now and then I just write WWJD just to be slightly annoying and provocative when I feel like the conversation is getting a little bit too far beyond what is okay in my personal opinion. Anyway, and so we need to wrestle with that right now. If Jesus was here in the United Kingdom, in Englefield Green, in 2016, what would he be doing? What would he be thinking? Yeah? Because we are here to represent him. So, last night I was just praying and asking the Holy Spirit, you know, what does he want me to bring today? I've had a really big, I don't usually leave my talk preparations the night before, by the way, but I've just had a crazy busy time, and so that's how it come to. And I knew that I wanted to speak into this. And, I really felt to use the Lord's Prayer as a kind of thing to help us. So if you want to get your Bibles out or your smartphones, and let's go to Matthew 6, verse 9. So Matthew 6, verse 9. So this is when, you know, the disciples wanting to know how to pray. Jesus says, pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we're going to look at each of these sections. I'm just going to share a few thoughts on each one. And then we're going to spend some time praying and listening to God together. So the first one, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. You know, as followers of Jesus, we approach day-to-day life knowing that our Father is in heaven, that we are his children, we have his DNA inside of us. Yeah, we're representatives of him, the God who's love and is good, who welcomes all, walks alongside everyone, the God who's compassion. And we approach that knowing that that's an awesomeness. You know, when it's talking about hallowed be your name, it's talking about, wow, you know, God is amazing. He's in heaven. He's awesome. You know, wow. We just need to be mindful of that. So that is the approach that we need to take in the situations, the circumstances going on around us. Obviously, I'm speaking particularly into our nation. There might be other situations going on around you. Is that we are children of God. We have a loving, good, heavenly Father who is awesome, who's in heaven, who has a way bigger picture and perspective on what's going on and who cares. Next bit. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God is not limited by political systems. Woo! You know, I totally believe that God's kingdom can influence political systems in a positive way. And, you know, I do believe that God does call some people to engage politically, to get involved in that area of how we run our countries, and also to stand up for injustice and to promote love, peace and goodness. But he's not limited to who's running the country, to which political party get in, and whether or not we're members of the EU. He's not limited by that. Yeah? You know, real change comes when hearts are changed. That is how real change comes. Our role as followers of Jesus is not to be passive or indifferent to the world around us. We're not to be self-centered, inclusive, and just looking to our rights. We are called to follow Jesus' example, to give ourselves to others, and even if that means laying down our life, because that's what Jesus did. This is what he's called us to. Woo! I'm excited about that. Even though that is very, very costly. You know, Jesus gives us that wonderful example of how to live life that's not for our own interests, not looking to our own good, but looking to the good of others. And, you know, I know that sometimes when we talk about that kind of thing, you think, ooh, that's overwhelming. You know, God calls us to do it in a way that he will help us to find sustainable ways to do it. You know, that we can't, you know, sometimes if we give ourselves so much to others, we totally burn ourselves out. We need to have wisdom within it. We need to find out how to sustain ourselves. Jesus did that. And so we do it with wisdom, but it is possible to give yourselves fully for the greater good, to not be self-centered and self-serving, and to do it in a sustainable way for your own self. Does that make sense? Yeah. I guess like one of the things that's been talked about in this recent crazy time in the lead up to the vote is like the whole issue of immigration and, you know, people feeling unhappy that they don't want to let people into our country because it's taking away our jobs and they're taking our benefits, et cetera, et cetera. All of that type of thing. And, immigration is a very complex topic, and I won't pretend to comment on it or know what the answers are to it. But what I will say is these few things, and Gemma and I were talking about this yesterday, is that we are incredibly privileged people. Even if you think that you're poor, compared to most people in the world, you are not poor. We have great privilege living in this country. And most people around the world do not have the kind of privileges that we have. And it is not a Christ-centered way. However that looks in political systems, you know, I don't know. But it's not Christ-centered to want to just keep it to ourselves. And what Maureen was talking about Britain being a storehouse, you know, in a way, in some ways we already are, because we have so much that we need to bless the world, or however that is, with. And so, you know, that thing that can come up in our country and we can feel ourselves, which is a natural human response, is just to want to protect what we have and to not share it. That is not the Jesus way. Now, I don't know how you sort that out politically and all of that stuff. I'm just saying that we need to wrestle with how are we going to be people who are taking responsibility for the world. You know, one of the things that Gemma and I were talking about yesterday is the whole refugee crisis. You know, how are we taking responsibility for that? How are we sharing with those who are in a desperate situation? How are we responding to that? You know, sometimes I just think to myself, I don't know what we do about refugee crisis. And I know that nobody really knows what to do about it. But all I do know is that if I was in a situation where I was facing war and terror and needing to leave my country, I would hope that I'd find some people who would take me and my family and friends in, who would bring me into a safe place, who would, you know, help me to find healing and fresh hope and restoration, you know, all those things. And so, you know, these are the big things that we need to wrestle with and not be indifferent and passive about as followers of Jesus? Yep. And I know it's very challenging and I don't know what the answers are, but that is what God's kingdom coming on earth as it ends in heaven. That's one example of what it looks like. Yeah? There are many examples, of course. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, again, I am not an economist. Richard is probably has way more ideas about the economy. He can help us understand how it works. You know, it's kind of a mystery to me in many ways. But what I do know is the economy is a man-made system that is like, you know, it has in it things that oppress people and make some people have loads and some people not have anything. And, you know, it can be used for good, like anything can be. But there is a lot of injustice in it. And God has created a world of abundance. There is so much abundance in this world that every single person on the planet should have way more than enough. And yet, human systems stop that from happening. Now again, I just don't understand it. I don't know what we do about that. I don't know how we change it. There are a lot of other much more clever people who might have ideas on that. But despite the fact that we are living within that system at times, even within that, God still can provide. Yeah? And, you know, if you go in your Bibles again, a little bit further on from the passage we've been reading, if we move to verse 25, such a good passage to meditate on and reflect on. It says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." So, you know, in these times where maybe in the news we're hearing about economic uncertainty, as Christians we need to come back to what does God say into this? And what God says is that he will provide our needs. Therefore, we can trust him to help us think of creative ideas if we are facing situations where maybe we don't have as much money as we did have. I don't know if that will happen. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But even if that happens, God provides creativity to provide for what is needed. And I absolutely believe that. And I think that we can be part of exploring that. Yep. You know, one of the things I've been really praying into on that whole issue of provision is like housing for people, because this is such an expensive area to live in. And it's really difficult for people to buy houses, and even rents are very, very high. And so I've been praying about that. And I can't tell you all the details because they're people's personal stories. But I'm sure we will hear them as time goes on. But recently, different people have been receiving unexpected money, which means that they're going to be able to buy houses, which I feel like is a real answer to prayer. So, you know, God uses unexpected things to people's generosity to provide, even in things like that. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. you know, as followers of Jesus, we have the privilege of walking in forgiveness and grace. One of the greatest tools, and we can be, you know, that term in scripture talks about ministers of reconciliation, that we can walk in that by offering forgiveness and receiving forgiveness ourselves, offering grace and receiving grace. But we also want to be that in the world, to be part of reconciliation and to heal divisions. And we all know that there are a lot of divisions in our country at this point. And so I want to encourage us, I encourage myself, what can we do to not increase division, but to heal it? And it's like, sometimes it's just in small things with the way that we talk, that just certain words that we might use just keep on stirring things up. Do you know what I mean? And sometimes it might be bigger things than that. You know, I guess where we live in Englefield Green, we don't have huge numbers of people from other nations or ethnic groups, so we're not necessarily faced with it locally here in the same way that it's happening in other countries. But, you know, in the last week, there have been an increase in some incidents of hate crime. A friend of mine on Facebook who lives in a part of the country that wouldn't traditionally be associated with those kind of problems, a friend of hers went into a shop to buy something and she was, you know, someone came up to her and said, "When are you going back to your country?" Which is just terrible. And we don't want that kind of thing happening in our nation because it's unhelpful. And division and all that kind of thing, sadly, if that gets stirred up and stirred up, it can end up going to violence, which is the ultimate, you know, kind of expression of that human negative emotion. And we don't want that to happen. So we need to, as the church, do all we can to bridge those gaps in the way that we speak and the way that we act and the way we come alongside other people. And so I just really want, you know, I encourage myself, I encourage us to do that. You know, maybe for some of us, we actually feel really upset with certain things that have happened in the last first week and different things that different people have done. Maybe we need to actually take some time out to offer forgiveness. We might not need to go up to a person, but we might need to forgive some people because we might be feeling upset by some things. And maybe we recognize there's some of the things that we've done that not helping the situation, that maybe we need to just say sorry to God for that. But it's really important that we keep our hearts soft and that we are used by God to heal division and bring reconciliation. Yep. You know, we all know about the really terrible thing that happened to Joe Cox, who was murdered. And, you know, we can't imagine how terrible that is, particularly for her husband and children. You know, I can't comprehend what that must be like. But, you know, whilst they're having to deal with that terrible tragedy, something amazing is coming out of that. And we've all seen stuff that's happened in this message to love like Joe. And, you know, she was somebody who obviously fought for to bring communities together. You know, she was passionate about the marginalised and about refugees. And, you know, I just want to read the quote that I'm sure we've all heard that is from her first speech that she did in Parliament. It says, "We are far more united and have far more in common with each other than things that divide us." And there's this hashtag that's going on, more in common. And it's fear that separates us, you know, not just within our own country, but around the world. It's playing into people's fears all the time of what that person that is other to me, who does things differently or thinks differently to me, what are they going to do to me? What are they going to take from me? And that fear stirs up division, which ends up, sadly, often going to violence. And I guess in recent times in some Western politics, fears have been stirred up, playing on people's fears, which is unhelpful. And, you know, we as a church together with others need to speak out positively against those things, to speak out edifying, you know, I'm not saying we shouldn't challenge things, but we just need to be wise in how we talk about things and think about things. I watched this, I think I posted it on Facebook, for those of you on Facebook, watched this video that was someone who was an American lady who worked for whichever is the American agency that does stuff globally. Which one is it? I can't remember. Kelly, you live in America. Which one is it? It's not the FBI. It's the next one. Yeah, that's... Is it the CIA? Yes. Are they the global one? MI6. What's the American equivalent of MI6? Okay. Right. No. I'm not talking about an aid agency. CIA. Okay. This lady used to work for the CIA. You've seen that video. And basically, she doesn't work for them anymore, I don't think. I think that was it. Anyway, in her, like, obviously, her role in that is to think about the national interests of America. But she had realized that, you know, all these different people that they saw as the enemy in different countries were actually, when you sat down and talked to them, there were people who had the same kind of concerns that we have. You know, what's happening to our children, education, da 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 da. All the things that might concern anyone. And her whole thing was about, actually, if you just get people on the table and actually listen to each other and understand the concerns of different people and try and bring compromise, then actually a lot of peace could come. And it is so true. And so in our small ways, let's be part of that listening and doing what we can in that. And maybe for some of us, he calls us to do it beyond just this local situation. But it's very important, you know. There's nothing wrong with us being proud of our nation, of our culture and our traditions, but this must not be at the expense of other nations. Yeah? You know, we are citizens of the world. We're part of humanity, human beings who are made in the image of God. God cares about everyone in the whole of the world, and we need to engage with that in that way, in humility. You know, we are not ultimately British, as proud of that as we may be. We are foremost children of God, part of humanity. Yeah? So the final bit of the prayer is, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And God is our protector, and he is working, he never leaves us, and he's working all things together for good into eternity. You know, sometimes we won't necessarily always see the fulfillment of it in its wholeness in this life, but he is working for good into eternity. So, a few little thoughts there. And just, it took me longer to say that than I was expecting, sorry. I just want us to take some time just to listen to God and to pray together. I just want us to take a few moments, just us and God, you know, maybe you want to close your eyes and just ask God, first of all, are there any attitudes in our heart to show us that maybe we're going to just repent before God about? And are there any people or things, might even be politicians, we need to forgive? And let's just spend a few moments just, you know, getting our hearts right before God and letting him speak to us in that and release his grace. And then after you've done that, just ask the Holy Spirit, what is he asking you to do as an individual or us to do as a church community in response to all these things?